Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, October the 2nd, 2009. A soft start to the harvest season and a hard fall for the soy complex. What's up for the month of October? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Joe Vaclavic at MF Global. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Dan Zwicker from the ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Dwayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. Here's a bit of a curveball, maybe. Did you make note that the monthly lead option corn futures put in a hook reversal to the upside? And does it mean anything? They were up 17 and three quarters cents in the month of September. Paul Cooley.
Well, I always liked it when I ever hear the word charts. I always hear this. Remember the story about the ocean is full of boats, and in their bottoms they're filled with charts. And the second part of that thing is we do know that the dollar is extremely weak, corn's extremely cheap, and ethanol is one of the bright stars. But if you're going to find any bullishness from me from the idea that the crop is smaller, you're going to strike out.
Well, I've been put in my place. How about you, Dan Zwicker?
Well, I guess I'm one of those chartists that maybe get lost at sea once in a while. But you have to at least respect it initially. We haven't validated it yet because we're just, you know, a few days into the month of October. But in order to really validate it as something meaningful, we do need to go on up above the September high. We'll have to kind of see it, but I haven't had much success in fighting monthly reversals, whether they're up or down. This is a little rare, in a sense, as if you look at the past 20 years or so, you only have about 30% of reversal ups during the month of September. You close higher during the month of September. 70% of the time you close lower in September because you usually go into an October low.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
I think it had told us, Todd, that harvest is about a month late this year, that farmers were very tight holders, which for what reason we have no idea, and that corn just wasn't moving during the month of September. And that's it in a nutshell. And we're going to see corn start to move after this rain moves out, and we're going to see any of that good basis levels go away.
All right. Here are the way the numbers settled for the week. We gave you a monthly change on the corn. Remember, it was up 17 and, what, three quarters, I think. December corn for the week had a high of 347, a low at 329. Settlement price was a half cent lower at $3.33 and a half. And December 2010 contract was down a quarter of a cent at $3.77 and three quarters. The Informa numbers were out this week ahead of next week's USDA crop production report. Informa had a couple of sets of numbers, and maybe somebody can explain to me what they were really thinking. They gave a number of 164.7 for corn with a 13.1 crop. USDA's crop, of course, at 12.9 and 161.9 in the month of September. But there was a second set there for end of season at 168. That's a number we bantered around before with a 13.3 crop. What'd you make of all that?
Well, you know, historically, the Informa group basically say they want to design a number that the government, they feel comfortable with. But in the end, if we do raise a good crop and if we don't have the frost and if our trends continue, we will get to that 168 in the final play.
And that's, and are you of the mind that that's going to be there?
I think that the I think the crop is bigger than the last report, and my opinion is that that between FC Stone and Informa, that the crop is bigger, and the magnitude is still going to be, and the real size is still going to be an unknown at this time. But it is a good crop, and I think we have to respect that trend.
Dan, what's the Home Office saying about the size of the crop?
Well, the reports that we're hearing are awfully strong. But, you know, we haven't seen, you know, a whole lot of harvest yet. But you have to at least acknowledge the fact that the early yield reports that we're hearing are awful strong. So it does tell you that the April corn's good. Your early beans are good. The only thing in doubt is will the yields hold up, or if they do fall off, do they fall off significantly for the later planted crops?
Any fear about the disease in the corn crop?
Well, anytime you get into quality issues, it's always a concern because you have to merchandise that grain and you have to find buyers and you have to, you know, do some blending and whatnot to get it up to certain standards. So that is definitely a concern. There's a lot of elevators reporting just a steady diet of disease problems, and that's having to take discounts.
Okay, my crop insurance salesman, we're going to root for a lower price in the month of October.
Well, there's an awful lot of people that are, Todd, and I'll tell you what. I was talking to one of my customers who's also a crop insurance agent, and he was hoping for corn to drop 40 cents so he could actually pay the rest of his bills this fall. But, you know, we did remind him that we do need the price to come back a little bit for the February time frame here to have something worth insuring for next year. But, you know, as we go here, the question we have to answer right away, though, is are the yields going to be so good that even the drop in price still might keep us at our income level that keeps us the revenues at a place we don't pay? But I think if we would drop, as we think we could during the month here, that there will probably be some payments on the revenue policies.
You know, one thing that we do know is that we basically escaped with the frost idea.
Right.
And we do know that the populations are tremendous. And we did know that, you know, some of the Iowa crop might have deteriorated a little bit, you know, from the dryness. But, you know, we were worried at the Farm Progress Show that with all this new triple stack technology that we could actually leapfrog above those yields if these yields would be coming in. Probably we're not looking at anything substantial, but I think the big factor is that there's a lot of confirmation in the last USDA's report that it is a husky crop and it's going to be a bear to put away.
A bear to put away, and maybe I should go across the board here and start with you, Paul. What do you do with that crop that you have unpriced at this point?
Well, you have to have a good buy-sell pad on the right-hand side of your tractor seat because it's going to be one way to make it work. But I think you have to basically feel that the trend is unmistakably down still. And as far as replacing any ownership at this time, I'm not ready for that game.
He's not ready. Dan?
I'm not ready for a replacement right away. I do think, though, I guess, you know, until I see something different, I still kind of got to think that the corn market is trying to level out here above the 310 area. We may have kind of put in the top end of the range for a while up here in the 347, 350. So we might be in one of these 310 to 350 ranges until we get some verification of this crop if the yields start holding up down the road.
Well, I'm going to agree with both those guys, but I'm going to lower Dan's expectations for the bottom side. You know, my range is more down in going to 280, 285, and at that level, somewhere under $3, we're going to start scaling in to replace anything for feed users, not necessarily everybody else. But we're going to wait until we see that this harvest gets at least half over before we do any replacement buying for corn for people that marketed stuff that they thought was too low a price. You know, we've talked a lot about these beans as long as – you know, most of the people should be caught up and have their beans fairly well sold in the $9 to $10 bracket. We don't see any reason to be replacing $10 beans.
All right. So let's catch up with the rest of the grains, and then we'll get to the oil seeds. December oats at 220.5 on the week, up a penny and a half. December wheat at 462 top, a bottom at 39.25. Settlement price down 8.5 cents at $4.41.25. July at 485.5 for the harvest month. It was off 15.25. Soy complex, November beans at 937.25 top this week, a bottom at $8.85. Settled 41 cents lower at $8.85. November of next year at $8.86.75, down 19.75. Settled for the first time below $9, I think, since the month of July, isn't it, Dan?
That I don't know for sure, but it is definitely a concern, at least from a chartist point of view, the way we finished out the week at the bottom of the range. Not only for the day, but for the week. So the chart does kind of imply that it's wanting to break down in here. We'll have to kind of see how it happens on Monday, Tuesday. But, yeah, the gates have been opened here for some further downward pressure on these beans.
Paul, can you believe the numbers that are coming in? Informa at 44 bushels to the acre, USDA 42.3 last time. That would put us at a 3.38, nearly a 3.4 billion bushel
crop. I think
crop.
We have a bin buster crop, and I think that the early exit polling indicates that it's a landslide towards bigger production. My impression is that we could even leapfrog over these numbers substantially, and it's based on a couple of things. Number one, these early bean yields seem to be good to excellent. My idea is that the weather, particularly in the Delta and the Midwest, was great. There was some disease problems in eastern Iowa and parts of Illinois, but my general impression is that these later beans are better even than some of the early beans. When I hear the word 60, 65, 70, 75 bushels over a large parts of, you know, the three-state area, and the reports also from the early harvest in the Delta all indicate a tremendous yield, I think that we are looking at probably a record soybean crop for the United States, without a doubt.
In the spring of the year, we always say they'll get it planted one way or the other, generally speaking. I wonder, does that mean they'll always get it harvested? So here we are on the second day of October on this recording. We probably have at least a week before they'll really get into beans again in a large part of the Midwest, I would think, given the wet conditions that they're under. So we get to the 6th, 7th of October. You can't cut beans very early in the day. You can't cut them very late in the afternoon. How much, Wayne, when we slow it down, how much field loss is there? And does it make a difference? I mean, will they really bring the crop in, or is there going to be crop loss? And I'm not sure that I know how to judge that at this point. It's been a long time since we've had, boy, we've got awfully good combines anymore. I'm just wondering what it all means.
Well, there's two things going on, Todd. Number one, the large combines mean that they combine 2 to 3 times as much a day as they used to. The other thing, problem being, though, is if wet conditions continue to exist, if we would have freezes and thaws and whatever going along, or even some hail or some wind, we can have some popping of pods and beans being dropped, and we can lose a few bushel that way. We could potentially lose up to a half a bushel off the crop that's out there with some stuff like that. But are we going to lose greatly? Probably not.
I think we have to also – we're betting on the wrong horse as far as delays. The real problem getting harvested is corn, not soybeans. And the second thing is I asked our meteorologist twice today, early in the morning and late in the afternoon here, and he says, don't bet on that wet horse. Now, I know World Weather Services talked about it, But that's one horse that I don't want to bet on at this time.
All right. So you say they're going to get the soybeans harvested. What are we doing with them as we harvest?
Well, we've got most of them sold, and basically, unless we totally fall out of bed, we're selling the rest of them because you don't bin beans over to $8.50 to $9.
It's difficult to hold on to current cash value beans in hopes of higher prices unless something happens in South America.
Well, you know, I was a strong advocate at that $10 mark, and the trend is down, and I think a person should, follow that as well as these exit yields are tremendous.
Here are some the rest of the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade and the CME Group. They finished up the live cattle futures like this for the week. October contract at a high of 86.45, a low at 82.90. A settlement price there at 82.95, down $3.10 for the live cattle. October feeders at 93.55, off $3.05. October lean hogs today, 50.85 on its high price. The weekly low at 48.90. with a settlement price at $49.25, finished 85 cents lower on the week. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. You are listening to the Closing Market Report, actually to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. More with Joe Vaclavic from MF Global when we return.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. A generally mild and quiet September came to a close with a blustery transition to cooler than normal weather. A strong cold front raced through Illinois late Sunday and Sunday night, accompanied by strong gusty northwest winds and some thunderstorms, and then was followed by a turn to much cooler weather. Temperatures this past week averaged 2 degrees below normal across Illinois. Daytime highs did not make it out of the 60s, and the only thing that kept departures from being greater were cloudy skies. The clouds prevented overnight low temperatures from plummeting into the 30s. There were scattered thunderstorms ahead of the front on Sunday in northern and central Illinois, and some rain in the southeast, but most of the state was dry until Thursday. At that time, a warm front lifting through the state produced a wide band of showers and some isolated thunderstorms. Over the course of the day, most locations ended up with some rain. Illinois will remain under the influence of an active weather pattern next week. Following the passage of another cold front and attendant low-pressure system this weekend, we should see perhaps 2 days of mild, dry weather. However, another storm system will take shape in the Central Plains late in the weekend, and by Tuesday, rain will be possible across most of the state. Rain chances will stay with us until Thursday, when high pressure should muscle the rain south and give us some dry weather. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. We recorded on Friday afternoon, the second day of October. I'm Todd Gleason, our panelist in studio today. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana. And Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Our guest is Joe Vaclavic. He's with MF Global in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Joe, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Todd. How are you doing today?
We're doing very well. So, broadly, what are your thoughts on the corn crop, how large it will be, what USDA might come out with next week?
Well, I think that all the privates are getting bigger as far as, you know, estimates that are coming out, and I do believe that the USDA number continues to get bigger. If you've seen this stuff over the years, you know, in general, the general phase is that, you know, big crops get bigger, small crops get smaller, and I think we're going to see some more of that here down the road.
Joe, there is this feeling about government policy change as far as the size of the commodity funds. There's stories that there's going to be realignments with a major German bank. Is that into the market? And are we going to see some more erosion in prices based on that? Or what's your next speculative move as far as positions in the big funds?
Well, I did read that story about Deutsche Bank earlier in the week, and I don't know if that's a big deal or not. I mean, for all we know, a lot of that liquidation that they said was going to take place could have already happened. Usually the news kind of follows what's already happened, and I probably believe that that's the case.
It won't have happened yet. I don't think so. I mean, when they set that fund up, it was rolled in December, and it's in the specs of the fund.
Well, the thing is, I mean, when you see a news story that comes out, when did that story come out? On Wednesday, maybe? And they said that they're going to liquidate whatever the number came out at, 17,000 contracts a corner or something. Regardless of whether or not it happened, I don't think that, that's a huge issue for anybody right now. If I'm a farm guy or a speculator or a guy trading this stuff, I don't know if that's going to be the biggest concern on my plate right now, to be honest with you. I do think it's an issue. I think it's something that's going to continue to be an issue, for years to come, as long as these funds are around. But you also got to keep in mind that a good number of these guys went out of business last year. Hedge funds that, in general are not what they used to be. And, I think that, if you're a guy who wants to be bullish this stuff, you can't rely on them to bail you out this time.
I just kind of take it a little step further. I mean, when you talk to people around the commodity world, they still are somewhat concerned about outside money flow into the commodity markets. And I guess, what do you see there? Is it dull, or is there a potential to bring some money into this into the commodity funds?
I think there's potential for money to come back. I it's obvious that a lot of it went away. But, there's still, major evidence that these funds are long this stuff. I mean, look at the wheat market. I mean, we've got, cash wheat in Illinois trading probably under $3 in some areas, and you've got wheat on the board at $4.40. I think that's good evidence right there of what these fund guys are doing. They own this stuff. They own corn. They own beans. It's something that will grow. And, look at what's going on in the equity markets. If we, see this stuff continue to slide, maybe money comes out of that, comes back into commodities. It's real tricky to say in an environment like this that kind of continues to be volatile. But I think that money comes back, and I think you'll see it rally all this stuff again. And, maybe it doesn't happen for a few months, maybe even, years. But I think it's something that's going to be around for a while, and the government's going to do their best to regulate it. But, you can't keep speculators out of the market. Speculators is, in essence, what keeps these markets alive. And we need that there to a certain extent, but we've also got to make sure it doesn't overrun everything.
Joe, you said you concurred that this crop would probably get bigger, as all of us think. How low will this large crop, what price level will we get down to in December corn?
Well, here's the thing that I've kind of been looking at. I mean, those lows around, just above the $3 mark look like a good target to me. I don't think I'm one of the guys that's in the 250 boat. I don't think we get that low. The thing that really strikes me here is just the price of corn when dollar adjusted. And I know that corn isn't as big of an export market as beans or wheat, but I think it should be noted that a $3.30 bushel of these corn is closer to $2.50 or $2.60 dollar adjusted. I'd be real surprised if we got that low, but my general thought on the market here, I think as a result of these big crops, I think you're going to see this corn market slow down a lot. I think, we could get down to that $3 area. Maybe we go and make some new lows. And I don't think we're going anywhere real fast from there, to be honest with you.
Have you paid much attention to the domestic end user in the United States, in particular the swine or pork industry, and whether they will be able to make it through the next 6 to 9 months without losing a big player?
It's real tough to say. I mean, anybody who talks to these guys, especially the smaller operators, know that they're just in dire straits right now and have been for some time. The corn prices, coming down obviously helped them. But, I mean, if you look at a cattle chart or feeder cattle chart and all that stuff, fell apart here today and is making new lows. Tricky to say. Now, the USDA has, bigger demand from all these guys penciled in, I think, for the most part. That's kind of what's keeping that carryout number in corn, from moving above you know, two billion bushels or so. Tricky to say. I mean, the market's function here, you know, and has been in the past, is to put these small guys out of business, which is unfortunate. But, you know, the big guys are going to be around. Small guys, you know, you hope these guys stick around. But in a lot of cases, you've already seen, you know, a lot of small hog and cattle operators shutting down.
Joe, you're a commodity player. What's the biggest mistake that the market is focusing on right now?
Tough to say. I think that, you know, if you're talking specific to the grain markets.
Yes, sir.
I think that, you know, this rally that we just saw, especially people thinking that, all right, first, you know, this frost is going to be a huge deal and that's going to be the end all be all. And now they're talking, you know, wet weather. I think that's probably, you know, coming from a guy who's bearish, given that, you know, I think that that was a big mistake by anybody who was buying this stuff. You know, anybody who decided that they wanted to lift hedges or get bullish on this weather rally, I think that had the biggest mistake I've seen here the last month.
When you take a look at the soybean market, what do you see as the downside potential?
I could easily see November beans trading $8 or below. I don't see why not. Every yield I've seen or I've heard so far, I mean, for the vast majority of yields I've heard have been above and beyond anything that most guys expected, I think, as a whole. Now, you know, granted, there's going to be your stories of things that are coming out not as good, but I've heard some just giant yields out there. You know, $8, $7.50, I mean, hell, I don't see why not. The other thing with beans is that I think that we're going to have to correct these, you know, bean-corn spreads a little bit. You know, $9 beans going into harvest historically is pretty good price, and you know, I don't know if it sticks around too long.
Does the lower price, the big crop, deter South America at all?
I don't know. That's certainly part of it. There was a story across the wires here earlier that somebody thinks, and I think a lot of people are in this boat, that, you know, South American acreage is going to be huge, and they don't like the corn price and whatever. You know, that remains to be seen. Obviously, it'll be a factor, but, you know, if you're looking at those March or May beans, you know, still sitting up there near that $9 area, I think that would look pretty attractive.
Joe, when we talk to farmers about this wet corn, mm-hmm. do you think it's appreciated enough what kind of a dilemma that is to handle in the marketplace and how long it's going to take and how critical it is and to put the bed, so to speak, the crop? You know,
I think it's an issue. I mean, you know, this is going to be a long, slow harvest from what I can tell as far as corn goes. I mean, we're going to have some wet weather. I know that part of the reason why we were down big today was because there is a little bit more dry weather in the forecast here. They dried it up a little bit was part of it. It's an issue, and maybe it limits the downside here a little bit. I don't think it's a reason to be bullish. Obviously, it's a pain if you're a farm guy and you got to deal with this stuff. But, you know, I think the market knows that. You know, it's not news to anybody that's going to be an issue.
Joe, thanks so much for being with us today.
Not a problem at all. I look forward to coming back, and you guys have yourself a good afternoon.
You too. Joe Vaclavic is with MF Global. He's located in Chicago, Illinois. Now a final word from our panelist in studio, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
I think the soybean market is going to lead the market lower.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
Just an observation. We are basically getting started a month late on harvest, and therefore I think there's a vacuum underneath the market that people may be underestimating.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Big yields, sort of bad weather. Be calm, be careful, and be safe.
Thanks for listening. This has been Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. If you'd like to listen to it again, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great week and be safe during this harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.